You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and these are your bold predictions, your spicy takes, and everything else we can come up with for 2024. Joining me to do just that, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good day.
Good day, Rick. Good day, Mark. Hope everyone's doing great today and ready to get into it.
Mark Immelman is here. Mark, good to see you.
Yeah, good to be with you boys. I've been down at the PGA Tour for a little bit. We were doing some more Swing Theory recordings, which are fun Champions Tour stuff. Then on the ride home late last night, get this right, going along Georgia 520, deer in the road, so I slow down so I can go by it. Deer is standing almost right next to me and jumps straight into the side of my rental car. So I had to go and tell the rental car people that the door was dinged because a deer jumped into the side of my car. So good to be with you otherwise.
They're not known for being the smartest animals, right?
No, well, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to figure why. Surely it could see the car, but then my wife, who's the brains in our operation, goes, well, you know, the headlights blind them temporarily. So that thing just reacted and I've got a dented rental car now.
Ugh, always capable of doing damage. We are also hopeful to get Kyle Porter on this show. We had a little technical difficulty with him earlier, so hopefully at some point he is able to join in on all the fun. If not, we'll go three wide. So gentlemen, again, similar to what we did on Tuesday, we have not connected on this. We do not have an outline. There's no rundown. I don't know what the topics are going to be. We are just going to start making some predictions, talk it out about how feasible each one of these might be, and see where the conversation takes us. I imagine, and hopefully it'll be fairly golf-oriented. Patrick, you were saying before we went hot, it might be nice to talk a little golf for once. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly have. I know KP probably has some non-golf oriented ones, which I think will be good to mix in there. But I think Mark and I are also on the same page, just, you know, talking about what's going on the grass.
Okay. Well, speaking of what's going on the grass, why don't you kick us off, Patrick? Give us a mild take for 2024.
Okay. My mild take is the international team will win the 2024 President's Cup.
That is also on my list.
Yep. I think you look at kind of the young crop of players that they have, Tom Kim, Minwoo Lee, the potential of live players coming back into the fold as well. You get Joaquin Neiman, who's only 25, Cameron Smith, still a phenomenal golfer. You mix that in with someone like a Cameron Davis, who was sick in the early half of 2023, but I mean, he sure showed some really good signs there. I think he's in for a monster season in 2024. And you couple that with, you know, some of the U.S. inside the locker room potential drama. And I have another one down the road that's a trickle effect of them losing in Montreal.
Well, Mark is hoisting his international flag, and I'm on the same page here, Mark. I have this for myself as well. I think there's kind of two ways this goes well for the internationals. If this event gets live golfers back, that is good for the international team. If this event continues to block live players, I think there are a couple of guys from the United States team that might no longer be eligible for this squad when they get to Montreal. And like Patrick was saying, there's already, it's been described as a fracture in that locker room. The international team has bought into the new brand, the new team. They're doing things the right way. It would be, I think it's more than a mild take, considering the history of this event, where the Internationals have won once and have tied once. That is it. But I'm with Patrick here. I think the Internationals make a run and win in Montreal.
No joke. It's actually the one on the top of my list as well. So international team wins President's Cup. And everything you guys have said has been on point, spot on. I just want to build on that saying, look, they put up a valiant effort in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's almost like that's in Davis Love's backyard, right? And so it's obviously a very partisan crowd. They're going to Canada. And I've called the last two Canadian Opens, and those fans up there are raucous. I mean, they are rabid. And then you've got Mike Weir, who's like the favorite son over there for golf. He's leading the team. That's a big deal, playing it in Canada in front of like home fans, if you will. And then I just want to talk about the culture of the team, because you're right. When I was at the Ryder Cup, the American team did look disjointed. And they've always been able to play by that, because it's sort of a singular game, golf. But all these matches, these are team deals, and you've got to play alongside somebody. And if you're not getting along with the guy you're playing alongside, or you don't jive with him, that just makes it really hard. And so I feel like there's a little fissure there in the team that can be exploited. And then on the other side of the coin, it began with Captain Ernie Els at Royal Melbourne. He designed the shield that sort of unified the team. They should have pulled off the victory down there against the Americans on home soil. And then Captain Trevor sort of took the torch and ran with it. And he built a beautiful culture inside that locker room. So much so that I was down there with a family over Thanksgiving. And like Siwoo Kim is following Jacob, Trevor's son, on social media. That's how close all of these guys are. And so I feel like the culture inside of the international squad is now growing from strength to strength. And it's in a place now where Trevor built on what Ernie laid the foundation for. And I feel like Mike Weir is going to build further, because from what I can understand, Trevor is still sort of involved in the fold in a certain way. So yeah, I'm all in for the international team. I was in Charlotte. I thought they could have pulled something off, but I certainly feel like in Canada next year, it's real, man. I'm all in.
Obviously very early, but looking at the potential standing guys that might be on that international squad, you think of Minwoo Lee and the emergence that he has had. Cameron Davis seems to be getting better. Nick Taylor coming into his own, and then you're kind of anchored by Tom Kim, amongst others. So it is an interesting team. It is going to be important what happens with golf on that other tour, the LIV Tour, because it might bring some guys back. It might take some guys away.
Yeah, well, you got Joaquin Niemann, obviously, who just won over there in Australia, and Cam Smith, naturally. So there's all those guys. And then let's not forget, a guy that almost gave my brother more gray hair was Ryan Fox when it came to captain selections for the last President's Cup, because he was on the fringes of things. And then to me, I don't know this for certain, so don't quote me, but it kind of came down to Taylor Pendrith or Ryan Fox. And Pendrith got the nod. The way Ryan Fox is playing right now, I'm sure all and sundry would be lining up to play alongside him. So it's going to be a pretty stout lineup. But again, the culture of this team is incredible, and I feel like that may be the separator.
Let's see if we can get Kyle Porter into the mix here. KP, let's check that microphone.
I'm scared to talk into it.
Good, not great. I mean, admittedly,
entertaining would be the word that I'd use.
I just don't understand.
So the issue we're having is that Kyle has been a chipmunk. He has been on helium. This is actually the best we've heard it, though it is a higher pitched version of KP than we've ever heard before.
I mean, I've got four kids. The odds that they messed with it are pretty high. So I'm gonna get in the lab when this is over and try to figure it out.
Okay, well, I will warn you that your takes and your bold predictions will come across a little nerdier than usual, I think, but it's not too far off brand. Do you have a hot take you'd like to throw out for 2024? Well,
did I just walk into somebody predicting that the world team would beat the Americans?
No,
all three of us.
Not one, not two. All three of us have it on. Yeah,
that's embarrassing. That's not going to happen.
Could happen.
No.
It's bold.
Kyle, what'd you tweet after Whistling Straits?
I said Rome wasn't going to be close. Was it close, Patrick?
Technically,
it wasn't.
Correct.
My first one, should I start on the positive? Should I go with Patrick's positive parlay or should I start pessimistic?
Well, that's a good question. We were kind of just starting with like a 1 out of 5 spice meter, whether it was positive or negative, and then kind of working our way up. But I'm happy to go in any direction that you want.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to say Tiger finishes a Sunday, like finishes 72 holes fewer than 3 times next year.
Tiger Woods finishes 72 holes fewer than 3 times. So I assume there that there's a couple of things. One, he doesn't play once a month like he is hoping to do, which would lower the number of opportunities for him to do this. Two, when he does play, he either doesn't play well or can't complete 72 holes. So there's a couple angles here, KP.
That's right. Pick any of them. Choose your own adventure. I'm everybody's very into, it's very in vogue to be into Tiger in 2024 right now. So I'm going to zag when everybody else is zigging. I don't believe the hype right now.
All right. Well, if you're zagging one of mine, I'm going to zig a little bit here. And I'm going to say, now I haven't checked if he's eligible for all. I'm assuming he is. I'm saying, this is my bold prediction, the Tiger Woods makes the cut in all 4 major championships next year.
Wow.
Ooh.
That would blow.
Take
that
off.
That would blow Kyle's bold prediction out of the water.
Yeah, listen to this. Augusta National, that's going to be the hardest one walk-wise, but he made the cut.
Easiest cut to make, though.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I'm saying make the cut. Then we go to Valhalla, right, where it's a fairly easy walk, really. Pinehurst number 2, which is flat, and Troon, which is flat as a pancake. So, and Troon is a real ball striker's place. You got to hit the ball low. It's right up his alley. Put the ball in the fairway. So, I feel like the biggest challenge of that bunch is Augusta National, just because of the severity of the walk there.
Patrick, we've got one on each side of the coin here. Where do you lean?
So I'm assuming he plays half a dozen times in 2023.
Six starts.
There are cuts at the player invitationals, correct?
At the
like the Genesis Invitational, Arnold Palmer Memorial.
Yep. As far as I'm aware, yes. Unless that's
so I'm thinking he misses the cut in LA. He's never really played too well there. Players Championship, 156 players. If that is his second start, that could be tough. So I think 3 is a really good number. I think the over under, I'd put it at 3.5 if I was in Vegas, Rick. And if I had to choose a side, does he make half the cuts in the majors? I'm going to say no.
And also Kyle's caveat is that he has to finish, you know, making the cut and withdrawing in the third round doesn't get you.
Could be ugly weather. Augusta, I mean, it has been ugly the past 2 years. You think about the Saturdays when it was really cold a couple years back and he struggled. And then obviously this past year with the downpour. So I'll side with KP on this one.
What's the most likely factor, KP, that like, what's the biggest hurdle for him? Is it the preparation starting that many events? Is it playing well enough to get to the finish line? Or is it the body breaking down at some point mid tournament?
I think it's the last one. I think the thing that's flown under the radar with Tiger. Do I still sound like a clown?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, great. So you can put a nose on me and my takes. The thing that has flown under the radar with Tiger is like his back is a mess. Like everybody's been focused on the ankle and the leg and the knee and all this stuff. Think back to Bethpage in 2019, and we got that article. It was in the New York Times, and it was talking about this back fusion. It's like, yo, this doesn't go well at some point. And I feel like we're sort of ignoring all that because we're so focused on the leg from the car crash, and rightfully so. But the back, I don't know, man. Like, I just don't know how, you know, Tiger said at Hero, hey, the fact that my ankles fused together means there's a lot of pressure in other parts of my bodies or in other parts of my body and in other places. Part of that's back, neck, and everything that's gone along with that. And I have concern about that as it relates to Tiger finishing events in 2024.
Yeah. It's got to get a lot of stuff to line up well to see that 72nd hole on Sunday. Okay, Mark, let's continue down the bold take path. What do you have for us?
Well, I'll build on the Tiger making the four cuts in the majors. Now, you guys know I'm kind of pragmatic when it comes to this thing because golf at the PGA Tour level is hard. But I'm going to say that Ludvig Åberg wins a major championship next
year.
I do. That's bold. And you know it's bold for me because majors are hard and there are only four of them. But this guy is a golfer for all seasons. He's got the quietest mind. I mean, nothing gets away from him. He's very, he's almost like a child. The bit that I've spoken to him, not at length, but for a couple hours. But he's like just a young person enjoying the ride right now. And there's no real errors about him. So he's like this kid that's like, whoa, this is crazy and I feel uncomfortable. But then you put him inside the ropes and he looks like this golfer that has been there forever. And he has all of the tools. He's long. He's freaking accurate. His distance control with the irons are great. I mean, whenever I've called him, I've waited. I hate to say I've almost waited, but I've waited to see some sort of a weakness. And it's just never materialized. Forgive me. And then, of course, he finishes the season with a victory down in Sea Island. And he must be feeling on top of the world right now. So I'm keen to see how he goes at the Grant Thornton thing, although that's hit and giggle some. But yeah, I feel like Ludvig wins a major next season.
He'll get four cracks. They will be his first four cracks. And Mark did not imply that he was going to win his very first start, Patrick. But I do have a quickly researched list of the six golfers who have won in the first major they've ever played. Do we want to take a crack at these?
Ben Curtis.
Correct. That was one.
The first major they've ever played.
So winning a major in their first appearance, correct?
Old Tom Morris.
It's not okay. I mean, it's like not a bad guess, right? So you're a couple of them are.
Did you say their first major or the first major?
Right. So one of them is the very first Open Championship ever played.
What was that guy's name? Braid. Something Braid.
Braid.
No, James Braid.
Willie Park Sr.
Oh, God.
Of course.
All right. So we got Ben Curtis and Willie Park.
Francis We Met.
That's correct. Well, great pull.
Wow.
There's two old ones.
Bobby Jones?
No. Horace Rollins, who 1895 won the very first U.S. Open at Newport Golf Club.
And then he started a baseball bet company or something, did he?
No, it smells a little different. Fred.
He's Jimmy's grandfather.
Fred Hurd, he only played four majors total, the U.S. Open all four times, but he won his first in 1898. So we've got three that are pre-1900. Francis, we met 1913. We did get Ben Curtis, and the most recent is the one that we're missing.
The most recent?
Most recent.
Colin Morikawa?
No.
What about winner date with Tad Hamilton? Todd it Hamilton.
Wait, hold on. I'll
give you a year.
Y.E. Yang?
Nope.
What was the Michael
Campbell.
This very well researched, just random post I found on the internet.
It's not Spieth.
Nope.
He was close.
He is still
the year, Rick.
Still relevant. And it the year is 2011.
Charles?
Nope.
Not Darren Clark. Who 2011?
That's right.
Oh, Jason Keegan.
Keegan.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Keegan beating Jason Duffer,
yeah,
in a playoff. Yeah. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue this conversation. We're going to get spicier and spicier as we go. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Let's ratchet up the spice. Let's get a medium level of spice. Patrick, we were aligned on our first one. Would you like to bounce back into the ring and see what else you got?
Do we think we should go team route or major championship route? I'm going to go team route.
You choose major. Are you talking cliques and four aces or what?
No. You know, I'm a Ripper boy.
Did you see that guy got a Ripper tattoo?
Really?
What a weird.
Like on his body?
On his forearm here.
Wow.
Ripper tattoo, the Ripper Twitter, send it out. Dedication. They've got hardcore fans. Everybody knows the Rippers.
That's awesome. Was it Bert Kreischer?
Your favorite punching bag, Bert?
Did you guys talk about how bad he was?
It was a tough scene.
I like the most common question on the grounds was, who is that guy?
I'm pretty sure he's Patrick's number one enemy now, because he kind of came on and ripped him off the pod afterwards.
You did?
Patrick did.
I wasn't very kind to his abilities on the show. But
what are we doing here? Like, all these people, I mean, whatever, like, get a Ripper tattoo, have at it, enjoy it. All these people who are the like fans of a league, can you imagine having, like, I know it's different, but like being a fan of like the PGA Tour, like getting a PGA Tour tattoo.
I think it's crazy that Siwoo even wears PGA Tour apparel.
Yeah, I wrote about that in S3. It's weird.
I wouldn't wear it.
That's awesome. I might have to do that if the Rippers take it this year.
Didn't mean to derail you there, Patrick. Go ahead.
It's still pretty mild. I'm pretty mild on all mine, to be honest with you. But I think we will get 4 first-time major champions this year.
Wow.
Well, Ludwig's one.
Minwoo is the other.
Victor's the third.
Victor. Then you got Tweedledee and Tweedledum with Xander and Patrick Cantlay. Throw in Max Homa, Tony Finau. Maybe Will Zalatoris returns to form. Cameron Young's a major beast.
Are you counting Rory as his first?
We throw Rory McIlroy in there as well. And I think there's a chance we get a surprise one. I think we got a 2 this year with Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman. So I think the path to 4 first-time major championship winners is there.
Did you mention Hovland?
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
The last time we had 4 first-time major winners.
I think it was recent.
I'm going back through the years, so I'm just going through the eye test here. I believe it was
2011, I think. 2012? No,
11 was Rory's Rory's first. Sorry, I was misreading the way that they do this. So now I'm going to have to look again. But yeah, so 2011, definitely. That was Darren Clark, Rory's first, Keegan, and Charles. But now I was misreading this, so I got to see if anybody did it more recently.
Maybe 2016 DJ, Stenson.
Yep.
Jimmy Walker.
And yep. Danny.
And Danny Dubs.
And Danny Willett. Not 2020, because that was Bryson's first, Collins first, DJ second. And then no. Yeah. So 2016 would have been the most recent. So 16 and 11 were the last 2 times that happened.
It's funny you mentioned 2020. The most memorable thing about that was the November Masters. Remember that? That's something we might never see again.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So that was DJ's second. Colin got his first, Bryson got his first. That's pretty good. And there is plenty of young, really good talent, and not even young, guys that are playing great golf that have not gotten across the finish line yet.
And they've been close too. So you would think they put it together here soon.
2009 was Sink, Glover,
Y.E.
But then Angel Cabrera's second.
That really was the year of what could have been.
That's a weird major year.
Like Phil at Bethpage.
When was
Y.E. over Tiger?
When was Trevor? 08 or
08?
ZJ was 07.
The other major champions in 08?
Tiger.
Were there any?
Toddy won a couple.
Yeah. Podrick won two, and Tiger and Trevor.
Oh, that's true, because they used to have that Grand Slam of golf over in Bermuda.
It was just Paddy and Trevor.
Well, Furyk played. He was an invitation. And then I can't remember the fourth, but they filled the field with a couple other folks. It was fun out
there. Just plebes.
Yeah.
Okay, who's up? KP?
Sure, I'll go. So I've got – it seems like we all kind of circled the same people in making these predictions. But I'm going to say – Ludwig and JT at some point in 2024 are inside the OWGR top five. So inside the top five in the world.
Wow.
Ludwig and JT.
Okay. So
not at the same time, but like just they both.
You're back on the JT train.
I've never left. Never left.
I'll lump in my J. So I tease this on Tuesday. I think JT wins a major. I think he wins the Masters. So I'm buying JT's back.
Rick, yeah. I bet that 35-1 already.
It's, yeah. Wow. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I don't love that. I don't love JT winning the Masters, but I do love him getting inside the top five.
I'm just not there. I mean, look, the game's coming around, but this is just something amiss. I'm not there with it right now.
Do you know what he's ranked in the world right now, KP?
I'm going to say, do you need keys? Do you have any predictions for 2024?
He's in the 20s. He was down to 34, wasn't he?
I think he's like 33.
Yeah.
I think like 25.
26.
Will Zalatoris is 33.
What is Ludwig's like 22 or something, right?
Ludwig is 32.
Yeah.
32. Okay. I had them
started
backwards.
Started the year at 3,064, which is probably the bot. That's probably 0 points. To 32nd.
Yeah, we're ranked 3,065th.
Yeah, I think I have as many. Yeah, I think I am too. Yeah.
So I think at some point, both of those guys, independent of each other, get inside the top five in the world.
Ludwig could get there very quickly because of the denominator, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Yep. Right? So he is actually at
He doesn't lose any. He loses nothing.
Right. Mm. Right.
Like if you look at the data golf rankings, he's like 10th or something. I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah. So he could really fly up the board very, very quickly. And then I buy the JT stuff too. So I'm cool with that. Mark?
Mm-hmm.
You got one for us?
Well, I've shared three. I said international team wins President's Cup, okay. Ludwig wins a major, and Tiger makes the cut in all four majors.
Those are pretty good.
This one's sort of spicy. I'm going to save my my Rory one for later.
Oh, I've got a
spicy. It's the Olympics next year, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paris.
Oh, I forgot.
I'm saying a Frenchman medals at Le Golf National in front of his home fans.
Who? Okay. I will try to find the current.
Who it's going to be. I'm going to hedge my bets saying if a Frenchman doesn't, there's definitely a French woman who's going to medal. Oh.
We're getting deep.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Okay. Is it Gregory Havre?
No, he's past his sell by, bro.
Just retired. Perez. Antoine Rosner.
Didn't he take down the thick boy at match play?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm high on Victor Perez at home. And I had to do this because it's my tip of the cap to Victor Dubuisson. He's a boy's a legend who's hung it up now at age 33. I mean, that's how enigmatic he was. But, you know, just the French fans, the golf course is kind of European. So I feel like a Frenchman comes through there.
Okay.
I just saw this the other day, and I'm trying to remember who tweeted it out. Okay, here we go. Nosferatu. So this is the projected Olympic golf qualification standings for as of December 4th. That was 2 days ago. Oh, I dated it. We were recording this. That was 3 days ago. The current French representatives, Mathieu Pavon.
Yeah.
And Victor Perez. They got some work to do.
I was digging in there with my croissants and things like that.
That's a pretty good one. That would
Patrick,
be.
We need to start lobbying to go over there,
dude. I will lobby to go anywhere. Last time I was in Paris, though, I did get pickpocketed. So
last time I was in Paris,
attenzione.
Really?
Are you hanging around in the shady side parts of town there, big guy? I'm sure. Huh?
No, it was. You know how they took the locks off that Love Bridge because it was like weighing it down.
All right,
and it was going to go into the river, so. You know, I just took a stroll there. These like three or four kids, probably like 10 to 12 years old, come running to me with a petition to sign. They're just yelling French in my face. I'm like, oh my God, yes, guys, I'll sign whatever you need me to. I look down, sunglasses gone, check my pocket, wallet's gone, chase after them, get everything back though, which is good. They got me.
You got pickpocketed by a 12-year-old?
Oh yeah, 100%.
You chase them down?
Oh yeah,
had to. Tumble him to the ground. You take him down.
I can't really say it on air what was said to the 12-year-olds. But yeah, I was with a couple of my buddies. We took their bag, looked in it. There's all my stuff, and then we took the bag and threw it in the river.
First cut after dark.
It was Rick, times.
I think that spending time in a foreign city with Patrick would be kind of like hanging with Joe Musso. it's different styles, but you kind of get the same. You get the same result.
It's intoxicating.
There's less fashion, right?
Rick and I just kind of hang in the background, do our data boy stuff, and just watch these two work the system, work the crowd, kissing babies.
Yeah. They set the table. They go to bat for us. They do whatever they need.
Yeah. They're the guys who grease the palms. Of
Yeah.
I know a few people around these parts.
Exactly.
I have a guy for everything.
They get the door to open. We just walk through it.
For sure has a guy in Paris.
100%. He's got a pants guy, plaid guy.
Yeah. No doubt.
I need to go shopping with Joe Musso.
We got to get, actually, our plan is, Joe doesn't know this yet. No, unless he's listening right now. Our plan is to get Joe on the pod at some point in December.
Oh, in December.
And just let him.
Just let him cook like men would. Just give him some propane.
Exactly. That's the plan. He is the absolute best.
Give him some helium too, like you. That'd make it even better.
I don't know what to tell y'all.
He's like, we reference him so much, but he's like never on. It's like in Seinfeld when Kramer's always talking about his friend Bob Sacamano, who you never see in 9 seasons of the show, but Kramer's always referencing him. It's like that's our Joe Musso. That's a good reference for people. All right, let's open it up. Anybody got a good one they want to fire out?
I'll go. Okay. Scotty Scheffler wins 5 times next year.
I don't think that's bold at all. Is that bad?
Yeah, but how many guys have won 5 times in the last 10 years, Rick?
JT has.
JT in 2017.
Yeah.
Spieth in 2015. Has anybody else done it?
DJ had a big year the 1 year, didn't he?
Maybe blur. DJ in 2016. It just doesn't. Five's a lot. It's a lot.
Wait, JT and Spieth did in the same year, right? Or Day and Day and Spieth did
Jason
the same
Day.
Year?
Jason Day. Yeah.
15 was, there was 2 and 15.
Okay. Yeah.
And then until you get back to VJ and Tiger, I think that's it.
I don't think anybody's done it since 2017. Rahm had 4 this year. It's hard to do.
Cantlay had four that one year, but it was the
That was a fake four. Yeah, so I think Scottie Scheffler, I mean, the numbers, I don't know how to, I feel like it was very difficult to convey to just the regular golf fan like my dad how good Scheffler was in 2023. Like he was a stroke better than the second best tee to green guy, who was Cantlay. Stroke.
Which from Cantlay, I'm making this up, but from Cantlay down, there's probably like that same gap, there's probably 80 guys between.
Yes.
Like that's how big of a difference it is.
Yes. And so I don't know. I know Patrick wrote in his newsletter, Scotty figured out how to putt. I don't know if that's actually true. He's trying out different putters. He won the Hero. I don't know what that means, if it means anything, but you can't play at that level. And it's almost difficult to play at that level and not win for an extended period of time. So I'm sort of betting on now. The real question is, can you continue to play at that level? Can you continue to hit the ball like that? I think the answer is no over like a really long period of time. But for 2024, I think he can. And it's almost like a progression to the mean. I know that's not a real thing, but it's almost like a progression to the mean. And he would win four or five times in 2024.
What's the line on that, Rick? Because like I said, I'm hearing Kyle, and I don't even think that's bold, because I do believe like he might not have made the putts at the Hero that he should have, but the pattern of the stroke and the rhythm and the flow of it is all infinitely better than where he was when he was contending week in and week out earlier this year. So golly, the thing about his golf swing, it's like it just comes so easy, and he's got this easy power, and he just is so like guy next door about the whole thing too. He just shows up and he just loves to play golf. And so I think five is highly doable. Goodness gracious. He might have a couple before the Masters rolls around.
Yeah. It would be a pretty, I'm trying to see if anybody's hanging like a wins line out there. It wouldn't be, it'd probably be like 1.5 for Scotty or something like that, but it would be a pretty big, the problem that he's going to run into is, you know, the events that he's going to play are all the most difficult events.
Same as last year.
Of course it is. He has to play. I was just looking through his stat profile and it's just routinely gaining 12 strokes to the field. I mean, he gained 16 at the PGA Championship and didn't win. That's almost impossible to do. So it's just like, there's a lot of stuff that didn't go his way, but you mentioned it, Kyle. It's actually a bigger question of, can he continue to play at that level?
Yeah. Look at the Memorial numbers. Look what he did at Memorial.
Yeah, I know. He gained 16.5 strokes ball striking. He lost 8.5 putting and he finished third.
That's what is that? He gained 16.5 ball striking and like didn't win.
So think about that, because you guys are both saying, well, if the golf swing does fall off a little bit. So what's his average strokes gained tee to green? It's double digits, right? So if it falls in half, then he's still gaining 4 or 5 strokes from tee to green, and he putts better. It's still adding up to the total kind of required to win events, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's right, Mark. I think he averaged 12 strokes gained tee to green per tournament, or somewhere around there, 10 to 12 in 2023. And then obviously the putting was bad. So you're right. Even if it falls off, you can make up for it with short game. His short game's great. And I refuse to believe that he's a bad putter. I just think he had a bad putting year.
No, there were issues with that stroke, and it started to become doubtful. You could see over the ball, just the rhythm in the pre-stroke routine wasn't there. There was a lot of indecision. Balls weren't starting on line. I mean, that's what I saw the most when I was calling him. But he looked way more comfortable at the Hero. He certainly did, in my opinion. And that sort of, you know, puts the mind to bed. And then he can just go about doing his thing, because he knows his striking is going to get him in the mix. And all he has to do is rattle in a few putts Sunday afternoon, and the next thing, he's racking up those wins again.
I think it's a good mental reset, too, just to have the year over with, go into a new year. I think it – I think it wore at, I think it got to him mentally. I really do. By the end of the year. So I don't know. I'm in on him winning five times next year.
Mm, okay. I've got a Rory McIlroy one. I don't know if we're at the depressing part of the show yet, but I've got a Rory McIlroy one. Patrick, did you want to fire it? Do you look like you wanted to go a different direction?
Yeah, let me get one more non-Rory out there. I think Tiger Woods will not be named the 2025 U.S. Ryder Cup captain. I think after they lose in Montreal, which they will, I think the general gist will be we got to blow this thing up and bring in a lot of new blood. Davis Love III pretty much hinted at it right after Rome, saying they need to bring new guys in. I've been on the Hunter Mahan bandwagon saying he should get some sort of assistant captain ship moving forward.
Why Hunter Mahan?
I like the way that he's still, you know, like in the game week to week, still really like not involved so much, but his head's still in it. And I like the way he thinks about it. I've heard him on No Laying Up and other podcasts kind of discuss the Ryder Cup. And I think his thought process is kind of what the team needs. Just, you know, get some new blood in there. I know they had Webb Simpson at Quail Hollow as a vice captain. And I think this current crew of couples, Love, Furyk, Stricker, ZJ, it was a fun run, but I think it's time to go in a new direction.
Did you see the article, the McGinley interview that I tweeted out, Patrick?
I did not.
You got Paul McGinley talking about how they're on, Europe already named a captain. He's like, we've got this plan that we've set up. Europe's already like laid out a plan for Bethpage. And the US is like, I don't know. Like, what are they doing? Yeah. Like maybe we'll name somebody at some point, you know? And McGinley's talking about how like they do the Hero Cup in January. And he's like, it's really important because you get guys like Bob McIntyre familiar with the team Taylor. So like he literally said this, he's like, when the Ryder Cup comes around, you don't have to wonder like, oh, who's going to hem my trousers. He's like, because you know, stuff like that sounds stupid. It's a tiny thing, but all of that starts to add up the week of when you're trying to prepare for the Ryder Cup. And it's like, these guys are like so far ahead of where the US is in terms of thinking about, you know, how to win and retain the Ryder Cup. And it doesn't mean they're going to win, but it kind of blows your mind to think about how far in advance they're thinking about this stuff.
Well, I guess your point's well founded. I guess it becomes a function of what's important to you. And right now on the PGA Tour, it seems to me that the only thing that's important is padding your bank account as much as you can, from the top to the very bottom of the whole organization there in terms of players. Where the Ryder Cup is, they're like, yeah, we'd like some of that money, but hell, we just want to win the Ryder Cup. And so I can see why it's going that way, and it's always been who they are, and they will continue to do so. So I feel like it's part of what's inside. You know, you love what you're the most into.
That kind of turned into me in a drive-by shooting situation there. But going back to Tiger, kind of what Mark said, I think there's just too much for him to focus on in regards to the PGA Tour right now for him to also take on the Ryder Cup captaincy. Because, I mean, like Kyle said, it's a long process. You know, you start early. It's 2 years away. You got to get your guys right, you know, figure out who's going to be in the team room. So I don't think Tiger will be the captain at Bethpage, despite what many want.
If they offered the captaincy to you, Patrick, would you accept it?
I would.
Would you? I mean, it's a lot of pressure. Yeah. We would risk would. You.
Pressure.
Would yeah. You. Good. You know, first order of business, I'm splitting up JT and Spieth. I know the data does not back those two boys up. Not happening in the McDonald household.
And you would show up on the First Cut podcast weekly to tell us the updates all the time, right?
Of course, yes. All right. I would give you guys the exclusive.
Would you? Could we have tryouts for assistant cat? Like, could I drive a cart?
Oh yeah, of course. And yeah, it'd be
Rick
like
Rick could know, be your you data know, boy.
I'm you, in. You know how they locked out the Netflix? I'm bringing everyone in. Everyone's into the locker room this time around.
I'll hem your trousers or something. If they're gonna do data, I'll be the trouser hemmer.
All right.
Just give me the crotch cam in the cart, and I'm good to go.
That'll be good for another round of KP memes. Okay, we will continue this conversation and get to our spiciest of takes, but first we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. I'll just get to it. The 2024 take that goes to the darkest timeline that is at least not insane. Rory McIlroy signs with a LIV team.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, think about what has happened.
I did not see that take coming.
Hey, Rick, would you go away? Your evil twin has taken over.
I know. Listen. Okay. This time next year, so December 2024, think about how much has changed in golf in the last 12 months and think about what could change in the next 12 months. And this doesn't even have to be super crazy. If there is this agreement that comes to pass that says in 2025, there's going to be the team aspect, which is LIV, and there is going to be the individual stroke play aspect, which is on the PGA Tour, and they are going to be under the same umbrella and they are going to continue to coexist. What would then stop Rory McIlroy from being on a team? It would all be under the PGA Tour in theory, or some umbrella. He would be the cornerstone of a franchise and probably make an outrageous amount of money. Why would it at that point? It would just be spite, in which he would not join a LIV team.
Well, in your scenario, wouldn't everybody be on a LIV, like all the good players be on a LIV team?
In my scenario, yes. In my scenario where these things coexist, there's 48 or 64 golfers who are kind of on both, right? The best guys can play the stroke play events, but they're obligated to play some amount of team events. And then the guys that are not on teams are just on the PGA Tour individual side of things. In my scenario, yes, all the best guys are on LIV teams, which means Rory McIlroy is on a LIV team.
Champions League, right, Patrick?
Champions League.
I don't know. Look, he made a couple hundred million dollars when he signed for Nike a little ways back. And the rumors are Tiger's in negotiations. And if he goes away from Nike, Rory becomes the man. So I don't know if money is attractive to McIlroy. I like where you know, I see your boldness, but I'm not there with that one.
He did say, have a choice? Well, that's sort of Rick's point, I think, right? Is like,
correct.
And I think I was going to save this, but I'll just get it out there now. One of my predictions or takes is that at some point in 2024, either the PGA Tour or LIV will be sort of earmarked to go away. And what I mean by that is that as everything merges together and coalesces, I don't think it's a good business decision or marketing decision to keep the branding of both entities, right? Because you're constantly fighting this, what we talked about earlier this week, of like, people don't know that they don't understand like the merger. They don't understand like what's going on. They think of LIV and the PGA Tour as like fighting and warring against each other. So I think one of those, and I honestly, at this point, with all the ROM stuff and everything that's going on, don't know which one it is. I think one of them just eventually gets earmarked to be gone, and the other name they just keep and kind of move into the team and individual stuff.
Right. Or the new entity is, you know, the NUCO World Golf League or whatever. Right.
Sure.
And now both are underneath of this, but you're right. The branding's an issue, but yes, my point, and Patrick, you were getting there too, is that it would be that Rory has no choice, or there's no incentive not to, or this is the new structure of world golf. That is why he is now the captain of team, whatever.
The lads.
Team
lads.
Well, he's got wasn't he the team of Boston Common, or what were they called?
No, that's the screen golf. That's a whole other thing.
Whole nother thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a little bit of a loophole here, Rick, right? Where he can say, well, it's not live as we knew it, right?
Right. It's under this the PGA Tour's umbrella.
And I do wonder, you know, we keep talking about, or people keep talking about equity with these players. Is the equity in NUCO just equity in teams? You know, like is that the promise of like making these guys whole? Like, okay, well, you just get equity of the lads or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the original framework talked about, yeah, putting all the assets into NUCO, but yeah, I don't know. And maybe that's what Jay and Yasser are talking about right now. But that, I think you're right. There is a loophole. There's a loophole for everybody. There's a loophole for everybody to tie this off and not have the worst case scenario, which is death and destruction of one of these tours.
Which I don't know if everybody on the PGA Tour is understanding that right now. Like the Chris Strouds of the world, right? It's like, do you understand what's happening?
Yeah, because if you go to battle, the side that doesn't win is not... The side that doesn't win is the side that has golfer 100 to 200.
Yep. Which is not a great business model.
Right.
We've said this a lot of times, Rick. The deeper we get into all this, the less I understand and am sure of anything.
Right.
Like I feel like I have less of an idea what's going to happen now than I did 2 years ago.
Yeah, I see shadows, right? I hear footsteps everywhere, right? Yeah. Every time I think I'm going across the middle and I can't miss, I hear footsteps. And they're coming for me. Oh man.
Okay. So, can I end us on a positive note? Unless
please.
Unless Mark.
Well, I went to Patrick, you've been suspiciously quiet, so I'm going to make a quickie and I'll let you then go from here. I'm saying Rory McIlroy will win a major. It won't be the Masters, and will probably be the PGA Championship.
Break the 8-year drought.
Yep. It's happening.
Who's the last one?
and then immediately signs with Liv.
No. Rory wins a major next year, 24. Book it.
Who's the last player to defend at a venue, non-Masters?
I'm sure the answer is Tiger. But I can't think of one.
Tiger did it at St. Andrews.
I was going to say St. Andrews.
05.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Back-to-back Masters. Anybody who's won the Masters back-to-back has successfully
defended. He said beside the Master. Besides the Master.
Sorry.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a good question.
Louis almost did at St. Andrews too.
That's a really good question. Where did Rory finish at Kiowa this time around?
It wasn't close.
Forgettable.
T20.
Wasn't it?
It wasn't close.
Yeah. Okay.
Rory got sort of close at Liverpool at Hoylake.
Yeah.
He was like T6. Something like that.
That's a good question. Patrick, anything else before Kyle takes us out on a positive note?
No, I only had three. I did the bare minimum of the homework.
Kyle's gonna be like, I figured normal sports career would be the best selling book of 2024.
I hope so.
We're gonna sell millions. It's gonna be huge.
I'm gonna one up Mark, and I'm gonna say Rory and Spieth win majors in 2024.
Go boy!
At this point, you might as well just tell us which ones.
Who's winning the U.S. Open?
Well, that's blowing Patrick's first timers thing out of the water if that happens. Obviously,
yeah, I think we all have a lot of predictions that can't that are mutually exclusive. Rory PGA and Spieth the Open.
True. Open. True. I'm buying.
Okay.
That would make me feel like all is right in the world.
Wouldn't that be
no more shadows, right?
Yeah, I'm so scared of everything.
Maybe you get Hovland at Pinehurst, like Mark Keimer did in 2014, and then maybe you get Scheffler winning his second Masters in 3 years.
Yeah, I'm going there, and I will then build on that too with Scheffler winning the second. Because Rahm's defending at Augusta National. I think after Rahm goes to live, I don't think he wins a major next year. I don't.
Are we positive Rahm's going? This is going to come out and it will have already.
Someone's going to clip it with your voice.
Are we positive Rahm's going?
I'm not positive, but there's you know what I've always believed, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And I know that Twitter has been just awash with golf ball debates and people crying about the golf ball and
hell yeah
about this. It's terrible, but no, there's just a whole lot of smoke there, and I don't know.
I agree.
I agree too. But KP, is it okay? So would it be Rahm is going if this scenario plays out right now? Yasser shows Jay a signed live contract from John Rahm. Jay says, "Okay, well, what percentage did you want?" Deal. And now they come out at the end of the week and say, listen, we've got the deal in place. We've got teams. We've got individuals. By the way, exciting news. John Rahm is going to be starting up a brand new team. Like, that's John Rahm going to live?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's my thing is like, I'm with Mark. There's a ton of smoke. His silence is louder than anything anybody has actually said. But the timing of it for me has been, I was talking to somebody about this last week. The timing of it is weird. Like it doesn't add up. And it feels like a negotiation tactic from Liv's side, and smartly so. Like that's the best negotiation tactic, right?
Yeah. 100%. Is John Rahm savvy enough and the savior of golf enough to say, here's a contract. This deal is contingent upon you getting a deal done with the PGA Tour under these conditions, X, Y, Z. No. We talked about him wanting format changes. Why not? Why John Rahm doesn't? John Rahm is the chess piece right now, right? We've all agreed on that. John Rahm is the chess piece. John Rahm should know he's the chess piece. His people should know he's the chess piece, and John Rahm's going to get his hundreds of millions of dollars from somebody. It doesn't matter where. He can end this whole thing right now.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think you're giving anybody in that position too much credit. Like that's a pretty wild.
I don't think he's trying to play the Saudis against the PGA Tour for everybody's great benefit. I agree. That's probably too much credit.
You mean being Phil?
the most interesting part about Corrigan's report, and I don't think he's been wrong in regards to Live Golf at all. Maybe I don't know, but was that Rahm?
One thing that was, and he came out and owned it. But
okay,
you're right.
He's been good. Was that the negotiations are with PIF? Like he is negotiating with the Saudi government right now, yeah. John Rahm is, which is how other players went about it. Eesh. They negotiated with Liv.
Yeah.
And so it is clearly something to do with the ongoing merger talks.
It's a great point. And I just, that's the only thing that gives me pause about like seems like he's going to live. All the talk is he's going to live. His silence says he's going to live. But this, the timing of it gives me pause about like, okay, maybe, but also maybe this is what like closes the deal for everyone. And then it could be, to Rick's point, it could be a situation where it's like, well, yeah, everybody's going to live, right? And yeah, he's getting it, but also like Hovland has a team and Cantlay has a team and whatever. Like that might just be what is, he might be the like the first one storming the gates.
Yeah. I mean, I can't wait for, we're going to get a clip of Jay Monahan coming out and announcing a very exciting new team aspect to the PGA Tour and a great new franchise led by John Rahm. That's going to happen.
Yes, I know.
We are super excited.
Yeah, because that is the only way this thing ends is with that clip happening.
Liv's storied history was something we couldn't pass up.
Everybody knows the four aces.
Yeah.
I got a text from a friend today that is like, he covers, or we used to cover college football together. And he was like, your sport is weirder and more messed up than college football ever was. I was like, yes, I know.
Yeah. Cause at least college football, they acted like they played by their rules. There are no rules here. There's just no rules. All right, boys, it's been a pleasure.
It has.
Anything else? Final thoughts before we get out of here. Okay. We are prepping some great content for the next couple of weeks. You will be back in your feeds and in your YouTube subscriptions. So make sure to hit the subscribe button, Golf on CBS YouTube. Follow us wherever you get your pods. But for now, I'll thank producer Josh. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald, available at Amateur Status. Mark Immelman at Mark_Immelman. Kyle Porter, a good sport with his voice being high on this episode, at Kyle Porter CBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.